Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. Welcome to Yellow on Air, your weekly young adult life orientation program produced by Women of Africa Care in South Africa and sponsored by Gospel for Grampian radio station in the United Kingdom. A very big thank you to Rob and Helen Rowe that has given Women of Africa Care the opportunity to minister, empower, edify, encourage, coach, cheer our wonderful youth on air every week. We get to be with you on a Sunday. Our shows are broadcasted at 10 a.m. and then it is repeated on Mondays at 10 p.m. And if you cannot listen to the program on air, then you're welcome to subscribe to Gospel for Grampian Podbean. And every Tuesday, you will have access to Yellow on Air weekly program on the Podbean, where you can download it and listen to it anytime you want. I encourage you, my dear youth, to please listen to our inspiration. It is going to build you up and it is going to help you be the light. Why do you need to be the light? You are the leaders that are taking this earth into the next era, next decade. You are the generation of leaders that is going to take this world to the next stage. And if you are not shining your light, what is going to happen to this generation? Because God had warned us that this is a generation that is dark. It is the dark ages. It is darker than the time of Noah. And so we need to shine our lights bright. And so if you want to be ambitious and you want to build for eternity, then being the light is what you're doing, because you do know, my dear youth, that our life doesn't end when we leave the earth and pass away through our bodies, the earthly bodies perishing. Life actually eternally starts the minute you became born again. And so when you leave the physical body, you are now transfigured into eternity living with Christ Jesus. Your eternal body hasn't been transfigured, but you leave the earth life and you are now living the spirit life in this eternal kingdom with Jesus. So life on the earth doesn't end your eternity. The minute you become born again, your eternity life with Christ began. And so why you need to be the light is so that you can draw people out of the dark world into that glorious light for eternity. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so you, my dear youth, as you shine your light, you are able to influence the people that are blinded. Think about it. You are in a time where you are the leaders of the next generation. And people are looking for leaders that stand out, that are different. If most of the people in the world are following the patterns of the world, the darkness of this world, there's nothing attractive amongst each other for them to follow. So light will always draw them and attract them to something. And if they're all in darkness, because the Bible says that the devil has blinded them, what happens to a person in blindness? They're surrounded with darkness. They don't have vision. They don't know where to walk. They need help with direction in terms of seeing where to go, what to do. They need help with that because they don't have vision. They don't have clarity, right? Whereas you being the light, you have vision, you have clarity. You can see your steps. You can see the pathway prepared for you, because the word of God says that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And what do you think is going to happen? Your ability to see, your ability to have vision, your ability to have clarity is going to draw these people that are blinded by darkness into the glorious light of God. So now you're not only influencing in this world to bring them into the glorious kingdom of Jesus Christ by becoming saved and having eternal life, you are now building an eternal reward for you. Because I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, now if anyone builds on this foundation, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which is built on endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer loss. So you still saved. But if you did anything on the earth that did not have an eternal influence, it is going to be consumed. You'll still be saved, but all your works will be lost and you will get no reward. Jesus says at the end of Revelations, "Behold, I come quickly, and I'm coming to reward everyone according to their works." And so I'm saying to you, Gospel for Grampian youth, if you have ambition to have influence and to be an effective leader, don't just think earth life. Know that your life is eternally with Jesus. It starts the time you became born again. You entered an eternal kingdom. That is why the Spirit of the living God was sent by the Father in Jesus Christ to come and live with us, to teach us how to navigate that eternal kingdom. Your kingdom come on earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. That was the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said that he brought the kingdom here. He said, the kingdom is here, it is arrived. And so when we become born again, we tap into that kingdom. We tap into that kingdom and we live from that kingdom. That is why we experience the glorious light of God. Jesus is the truth, the light, and the way, and the life. And so his light shines through us because we live from that eternal kingdom through the Spirit of the Lord, helping us to navigate the kingdom of God. The Word of God says that the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. So in the Holy Ghost, we get to navigate the kingdom of God, enjoy worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth, and receiving the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And that light of Jesus shining through us as we are one with God through this eternal kingdom that we received when we are born again, enables us to be able to shine the light and be a person of influence on the earth, that people that were blinded will come to the knowledge of Christ and the conviction through the Holy Spirit through our lives and be drawn to that eternal life. And imagine that, dear youth, when you go to heaven, Jesus tests all the things that you've built on the earth. And because you thought for eternity when you were leading in your places of influence, that eternal passion you had has now given you an eternal reward. What does eternity mean, dear youth? Eternity means that you're going to live forever. The God of eternity, who always existed, when he created the heavens and the earth and the universe, he created us. He always existed, and he created us from him. And his creation, he made us in his image and likeness to be his family. And when Adam and Eve sinned, we lost our relationship with God because sin separated us from God. And so Jesus came and restored that eternal life. That is why the Bible says that Jesus is a life-giving spirit. He restored our eternal life because our eternal life is in our spirit man. That is where our eternal life exists. And so the earthly body will perish and go back to the earth. But the spirit man comes from an eternal existence. And so we are designed to live eternally. And when we are children of the light, that means our eternal life is with Jesus Christ. But if we are not children of the light and we are children of the devil, who has been blinded by the devil, then our eternal life is eternal torment in hell. And you, my dear youth, have the opportunity to inspire and empower and shine your light so that the youth in your era that are blinded by the devil can experience the love of God and the light of God and the goodness of God through your life and be drawn into that glorious kingdom. And so really, this is what Youth Empowerment on Air is all about for Women of Africa Care. Our job is to help you shine your light so that you can take your light into all the places that God sends you. And that light will draw people to Him and get them out of this trap of the devil's ways. And I'm thinking about how John and Paul wrote to their followers and inspired their followers because they wanted their followers to prosper in the things of God. And, you know, their writing is how I feel about you. My desire, dear youth that are listening to Yellow on Air, my desire is to see Christ formed in you. And that's the reason why we labor on air, is so that we can see Christ formed in you. And so, with the word of God and the blood of Jesus and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we come to you every week to inspire you so that Christ is formed in you. Women of Africa Care, believe in the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that God is Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He was resurrected on the third day, and He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right-hand side of the Father. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God, part of the Trinity. And we believe that He saved us through the sacrifice that He made on the cross and the resurrected life that He's given us in Him. And so we preach Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and the light to eternal life. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. He is God with us on the earth. Jesus said that He will be with us forever. He is the third person in the Holy Spirit, and He is God. He is a person. He teaches us. He commissions us. He gives us anointing. The Holy Spirit quality is all-powerful. He chooses the gifts we need to have on the earth for service, and He empowers us for service, but He also teaches and helps us how to get to know the Father in Jesus Christ and how to worship God in spirit and in truth. So the Spirit of God has been sent to help us live this life in Christ Jesus on the earth. And He is a friend, He's a comforter, He's a counselor. And so on our air show, you will always hear us talk about God. And when we refer to God, we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We might talk about them in different names because they are three persons, but they're all called one God. One God, three persons. Like we look at the book of Genesis, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. When you go and read up the root word of Elohim, creator, it says rulers, judges, divine ones. So it's plural. When you read the Greek word of Hebrew word of God, it's plural. So it's more than one, meaning it's more than one person. So God is one, but it's three persons. You see God the Father, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. And so when we on air speak about God, we are making reference to the Trinity. Okay, I want you to know that that is who we represent. That is who we believe God is. And that is what we speak. We speak the one gospel that God has presented in the Bible. Nothing different. Okay, and so today, my dear youth, I want to say that my desire is that as you listen to our inspirations, that you grow in God. Just like 3 John 1 says, beloved youth, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that the youth that listen to Gospel for Grampian Radio walk in the truth. I will know you by your fruit. You listen to this radio station, you must be transformed, because we are speaking living word to you. And therefore, we know that your soul will prosper. And when your soul prospers, which is your mind, will, and emotions, with the things of God and the goodness of God, and knowing God in Christ Jesus is going to help you reveal his light to the world. When you prosper in your soul with the things of God, then you are going to be in good health physically, and you are going to be prosperous physically. So everything about prosperity starts with your spirit man prospering in God, in the kingdom of God, and that Zoe life then transfers and flows into your mind, will, and emotions and heart, which is your soul. And out of the abundance of your heart, your body is well and you are prosperous. And that is my will and desire and prayer for you. Christ be formed in you. And today, our dear youth, I've got such an amazing episode 19 for you. We are going to be talking about why fear God is near. Why fear God? And why are you fearing the devil? God is near. We just said just now that the Holy Spirit is with us. He's in us and he's on us for service. He puts his power on us for service. And in us, he helps us navigate the kingdom of God and the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so God is near. Why fear? God is near. So God near is a enabling revelation for you to know that having him near is going to help you navigate the importance of fearing God and the importance of resisting the fear that the devil and the world brings to you. And very important topic. So let's listen. There are two types of fears in this world. The fear of the Lord, which comes through the knowledge of God, and the fear of this world that comes through the sin nature. And we know the sin nature is birthed or founded through the father of this world, or the God of this world, which is the devil. So let's talk about what is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, when Solomon introduces Proverbs, he introduces Proverbs as the beginning of knowledge. And in verse 7, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That means, youth, that if you want to have knowledge of all things, it has to start with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So now we hear another scripture that in fearing the Lord, you experience the wisdom of God, and that the knowledge of the Holy One gives you understanding. So very important, when you have the fear of the Lord, you actually have knowledge of the Holy One. And in knowledge of the Holy One, you have understanding. And in understanding God, you are able to walk in the ways of God, which is called the wisdom of God. Did you get it? Let me say it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That means that when you have the fear of the Lord, you have the knowledge of God. And in having the knowledge of God, you have understanding of his ways. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So when you have knowledge of the Lord, you understand him, you understand his ways, and therefore you walk in his wisdom. Okay? Got it? And so fearing God is not a bad thing. It is reverential respect and awe for his ways. When you know him, you love his ways and you want to honor his ways. So we learn from Solomon that in fearing God, We are opening up ourselves to the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding of all things. And when we have the understanding of all things, then we are like who God says we are. God created us in His image and likeness. And God says that He's all-knowing. That means when we know God, we know and understand all things. And therefore, we can operate in that wisdom that God operates in, which means we're going to have success. Now, the second part is we know that the fear of the Lord is important, because without knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, we cannot be successful in the earth, because it was knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that created the universe. And God designed us like Him to be creators, meaning to populate and prosper on the earth. And so to populate and prosper and let the earth be a successful environment to live in, we need His wisdom, His knowledge, and His understanding. So in fearing Him, we know His ways, His standards, His knowledge, His wisdom, and we can be like Christ on the earth as He is in heaven. So what is the fear of the world? The fear of the world is, it comes from the devil, and it is the quality of the sin nature. Okay? It is the fear of the world comes from the sin nature, and Genesis 3:10 says it beautifully. Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." So that's where you've seen the first spirit of fear expressed through man. Before that, man was not in sin. Therefore, there was no fear of man on the earth. But the minute Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit, they opened themselves to the ways of the devil, because they now submitted to the devil. So whatever the devil is, they are. How the devil thinks, they think. How the devil behaves, they behave. And so the spirit of fear is a spirit that the devil has. And so that fear came upon them. And therefore, Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden." He was afraid of God because he was naked. And so he hid himself. And 1 Timothy 1:7 says that, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." So here we're reading that spirit is a fear. And like I said earlier on, the spirit of fear comes from the devil, because the devil is a spirit and he rules the earth. You don't see him physically, but he rules the earth through people. Whoever submits to him, he rules the earth through them. So he's a spirit, and the spirit of fear is what dominates people who open themselves up to fear. And so what 1 Timothy is saying is that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but God's spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, is the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So the spirit of fear is the spirit of the devil. John 8:44 says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. And because there is no truth in him, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So here you also see that the qualities of the father of the world, the devil, is murderous. And from the beginning, he lied and deceived. And you also now see, you don't only see the lying and the deception and the murder in the beginning of life on earth, but you also see the fear, because you see that expressed in Adam, right? 1 John 5:19, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." So there's this, the fear of God, and that fear comes upon us, or we embrace it as born-again children. And then there's the fear of the world, which is under the sway of the wicked one. So people that believe, that are unbelievers, they are swayed by him, and therefore they have the spirit of fear on them. And the children of God are born again, but you will see as I go further on that they are exposed to fear. And that is why God says, do not fear many times in the word of God. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and live it more abundantly. So here we see that the devil comes not only for unbelievers, but he comes for Christians too. He comes to steal from us, he comes to kill us, and he comes to destroy us. Why steal? Because everybody under his sway, whatever they have, he owns, because he's the God of this world. But as born-again Christians, whatever we have doesn't belong to him. Because when we became born again, whatever we inherit on the earth belongs to us through the kingdom of heaven. And so when we became born-again children, we have taken dominion over the places that God has given us on the earth. Because the earth was man's dominion. Adam and Eve sinned and lost the dominion over to the devil. The minute we've become born again, the places that God has called us to take territory of, that is our domain. The devil cannot, he doesn't own that domain. And that's the only reason why he comes to steal from us, comes to kill us, and comes to destroy us. Because he wants to gain our domain. He wants to gain our territory. And so that's when God is wanting us not to fear. Because the devil's going to want to come and gain our territory that we have now gained back through the born-again experience. The minute we became born again, the kingdom of heaven has come on earth and given us dominion over the places on the earth that God says is ours. And the devil comes to intimidate us and manipulate us through the spirit of fear in order for us to allow him in so that he can steal, kill, and destroy this domain that we are now living in. Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we see that he is the god of this world, and that he rules the world in wickedness, but we are ruled by the kingdom of God. And so there's two fears on the earth. The fear of God, which keeps us safe and protects us through wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the Holy One and his ways. And then there's the fear of the world that causes us to perish and torments us. And so how do we deal with these fears? The fear of this world is of the devil, and God warns us in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So, my beautiful youth, don't assume that because you're a born-again Christian, that the devil will not impose his fear on you. Because 1 Peter 5 is saying, you've got to be sober, you've got to be vigilant, meaning be alert. Be of sound mind. Sober means sound mind. Because the devil, your adversary, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. A roaring lion wants to bring fear upon you. So who's the spirit of fear? The devil. He roars to bring fear upon you. Why? Because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy the domain that you have gained back through the born-again experience. And look how he worked that out in Job's life. The Bible says that Job was a faithful man. But Job was intimidated by the devil because he went around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And what did the devil do? The devil went to Job. He went to God and he presented himself to God. And the Bible says that in Revelations that the accuser accuses the brethren day and night. So the devil goes to God and accuses God of all the saints day and night. And because God is a God of judge and judges us according to his word, if the devil accuses us of something and God looks at his word and we are guilty, then God cannot do anything about it because God has to honor his word. So in the case of Job, Job was faithful, the Bible says. In Job 1, it says, this man Job was blameless and upright, and he feared God and shunned evil. Meaning, he feared God as in, I love you, God. I'm not going to look at evil things. The Bible even says that he was even faithful with his eyes. I'm not going to do the wrong things. I'm going to obey all your commandments. That's what he did. And he shunned evil. He didn't do anything wicked. Yet the Bible says in Job 3:25, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. Now, hear what happened. The conversation went like this. The devil went to God, accused the brethren, and the devil said to God, Job is only faithful to you because you're giving him stuff. Take everything away and watch. He will not serve you. Job had fear, and therefore God had to release Job into the hands of the devil. Because if we open any door for the devil, then he has right of way. Meaning if I have fear, God cannot protect me. If I entertain sin, God cannot protect me. The only time I have protection is if I repent and say, Father, forgive me of my trespasses against those people and against you. Please, can you pardon me? And then the blood of Jesus washes us from that sin. And then we are restored unto that righteousness. Therefore, if the devil comes and accuses us of something that we have repented from, where we said, God, we're sorry, and we'll turn away from it, the devil cannot accuse us of something that God has forgiven us. But in the case of Job, he had fear, and he obviously didn't repent of it. And therefore, that open door had caused the devil to now come and enter his life and wipe him out. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? That's what he did to Job's life. What Job feared came upon him. What did Job fear? Job feared that he would lose his wealth. Well, this is what happened in Job's 1:13-15. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and made off with them. While they were still speaking, another messenger came and said, all the sheep and the servants got burnt. And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said that the Chaldeans raided the place and took down the camels, and they made off with him. Now, how's this? How does the devil work? He's going to use people that are unbelievers to come and raid you and wipe you out. That's how the devil works. He uses his followers, people that are blinded, that do not believe in Jesus Christ. They've got doors open to them that allows the devil to work through their lives. So in this case, the devil used the Sabians and the Chaldeans to come and wipe out all of Job's wealth. Job had a fear of wealth. Well, he lost it. Why do I say he had a fear of wealth? Because in Job 3:25, he says, the very things I feared has come upon him. What came upon him? He lost all his wealth. Then he had the fear of losing his children. While he was still sleeping, another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the older brother's house, and suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. Then he had the fear of health. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. So here you now see it. The very thing Job feared came upon him. A man who loved God, a man who feared God, also had fears in his life, fears of losing his prosperity, fears that his children will curse God and die, fears of health, and the very things he feared, the devil saw there was a door to enter his life because he had the spirit of fear upon him. And that spirit of fear allowed Satan's people on the earth that he works through to come and rob him, to come and kill his family, to come and destroy his wealth, and to come and harm his health. Job's friends were trying to convince Job that he had done something sinful, therefore God, who is a God of justice, punished him. And so when you listen to the entire conversation and you realize the conversation between God and the devil, you realize that what Job did wrong was he had the spirit of fear upon him that brought about satanic attack. Scripture confirms that the devil is the god of the world, meaning he has dominion over disobedience. And so anything we do that is opposite of the word of God gives the devil access into our lives. That is why the Bible says, fear the Lord and obey his commandments. This is the will of man. Because when we fear God, we have divine protection, because we honor his ways, we honor his word, and we make sure that we have faith in him and not faith in the things of the world. Job had more faith in his fear than in God regarding his children, regarding his wealth, regarding his health. That is why what he had faith in came upon him. He had faith that he would lose his health. He had faith that he would lose his children. He had faith that he would lose his wealth. Faith in fear is going to give you the results of fear. Faith in God is going to give you the results of blessings. Faith in God protects you from getting robbed, stolen, and destroyed by the enemy. So when we look at 1 Timothy 4:18, God says, do not fear. He's referring to do not fear this world or the troubles it brings. Why? Fear involves torment. If you fear the world and the trouble it brings, it's going to torment you because it tormented Job. So God is saying in 1 Timothy 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. And we see that play out in the life of Job. Now, how do we overcome the fear of this world? We stand on the heritage and the inheritance that God has given us. We have to understand what is our heritage and what is our inheritance. We have the fear of God for two purposes: to have inheritance and to understand our eternal heritage. Let's look at when Job feared God, how he enjoyed the inheritance of God. In Job 1, it says, this man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking perhaps his children might have sinned against God in their hearts, and it was his regular custom. So God feared Job feared God so much that he also interceded for his children, because he knew that if in fearing God, he has protection, and that he also shunned evil. He looked away from evil. So you can see now, in fearing God, he was blessed and he had a good life. But we also picked up earlier that he also had some fears that of the world, fear that he would lose certain things, fear that he would lose his children. And that fear tormented him where the devil had access to his life. But now look what happened to Job when he saw God in the epilogue of the account of Job. Job 42. As we end the account of Job, we see Job fearing the Lord in its best way. When I say best way, in its way where there was no room for the devil to ever enter in. He feared the Lord completely out of reverence and respect for God. Because he said, He said here, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. So Job feared God out of hearing God and knowing God out of hearing God. But now in the epilogue, Job feared God of knowing God through seeing God. And when he saw God, he said he despised himself and he repented for how he thought, for doubting God in terms of, to have fear, you have to doubt God. While he might have believed in God, the fact that he had fear of losses, fear that his children would, he would lose his children, fear that he would lose his finances, fear that he would get sick, that means even though he loved God and said he feared God, we pick up that he had doubts. He didn't have complete faith in God, because fearing God in the way that he feared God at the end showed that he was humbled by the presence of the Lord and embarrassed and despised himself and repented in dust and ashes. Because now for seeing God, he saw the reverence and the awe of God and repented for doubting God. And look what happened at the end, just by fearing God through reverence and respect. After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temite, I am angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job. So now take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. You have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job as. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Baladad and Juhite and Zophar, the Naamathite, did what the Lord told them and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored Job's fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted him, consoled him over all the trouble and the Lord had brought on him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkey, and he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now, how is that? And he lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the 4th generation. And so Job died an old man and full of years. Now, do you get that? When he experienced the fear of the Lord out of reverence and respect through seeing God, he was blessed more than how he had in his former life. So there's 2 types of fearing God. You can fear God out of just him being God and you know of him, or you can fear God out of reverence and respect for him. And that reverence and respect closes all the doors of doubt in your life about God, which will keep the enemy out from allowing the enemy's fear from entering in. And so we see in this life here that when we fear God, we get the inheritance like Job had. And when we fear God, we receive an eternal inheritance, not just an earthly inheritance. Matthew 25:31 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another. The shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come on, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom of God prepared for you since the creation of the world. that very kingdom, that eternal kingdom that God brought down for Adam and Eve, and they lost it to the devil. God has now restored that for eternity. We get to have that eternal kingdom with God. Revelation says it's so beautiful. Jesus brings the new earth down and we get to live with him forever. And there will be no sin and sickness on the earth because the devil and his demons will not be there. That's the life that he created for us. So that's the eternal inheritance. We live forever with God and there will not be sin on the earth. And so fearing God gives us earthly inheritance, as we see in Job's life. Fearing God gives us internal inheritance, living with God forever. And then fearing God gives us a heritage, meaning we now God's eternal family. Okay? In Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over all the wild animals and over all the creations that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, over the sky, and every living creature that moves on the ground." So we have a heritage of a good life that God created through Adam and Eve. And just like we see that good heritage of good life through Job, we now have that heritage continues in eternity with God, that good life. Revelation 22:1 says, "Eden is restored." Then the angel showed us the river of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb of God will be in the city, and his servants will serve them. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. There will not be a need for the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light and they will reign forever and ever. Here's that Eden is restored. We get to live forever with God. That is our eternal heritage. We are part of God's family, and that godly family lives forever with God. So when God created Adam and Eve to be his family, it was designed for eternity to be a family with God. And now God is saying there will be no curses and you are going to live forever with me. Just like how it was in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned, I was with them. Now it's going to be forever, but this time there's no devil, there's no curses, because the devil is in eternal torment and there's no curses. You are living in blessings. So that's the reason we fear God, for earthly heritage, for eternal heritage. Earthly inheritance, eternal inheritance, right? Now, what is the fear of the world? What is the purposes of the fear of the world? Firstly, to bring curses on people. Job 3, cursing the day he was born. When the spirit of fear came in, the devil came and wiped Job's life out. What happened to him? Hey, let's look at what happened to him. You've seen his family got wiped out. You've seen that his children were taken from him. His wealth was taken from him. His health was taken from him. And we see there that in verse 12, when the curse came upon Job, Job said, he opened his mouth and he said, "I curse the day of my birth. May the day perish when I was born, and the night in which it was said, why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came out from my womb? Why did the knees receive me? Or why the breast nursed me? For now I would have lain still and been quiet. I would have been asleep. Or why was I not hidden like a stillborn child, like infants who never saw light? For my sighing comes before eating. My groanings pour out like water. The very thing I feared came upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes upon me. And so you see here, Gospel for Grampian Youth, that the purpose of the devil imposing fear on us is so that he can rob, steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has given us. Because the Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He knows that the minute we became born again, we are of the family of God, and therefore we have gained dominion over the earth in the territory that God has given us. Whatever is our promised land on the earth belongs to us, and the devil cannot touch it. So he comes like a roaring lion to impose fear on us, just so that he can come in and rob from us, kill us, and destroy us the way he did like Job. Because he wants us to fall apart. He wants to torment us so that we can fall away from the faith and follow him into eternal hell. Because he knows he's already been judged and hell awaits him. And so he wants all the children of God to go to hell with him, because he hates God and he hates God's children. So he comes after us because he hates God, and he hates us because we are children of God. Okay? Let's look at that same curse that Job had is on Deuteronomy 28. When we do not obey the Lord our God and do not carefully obey the commandments and decrees that God has given us, all these curses will come upon us and overtake us. Deuteronomy 28:15 says it. You will be cursed in the city, cursed in the country. Your baskets and your netting doors will be cursed. The fruit of your home will be cursed. The crops of your land will be cursed. The calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks will be cursed. You will be cursed when you come in, and you will be cursed when you come out. Now, Job lived in the time before Moses took the Israelites on Exodus. Deuteronomy was written during the time that Moses brought the law, and God told them, if you obey my commandments and fear me, you will enjoy the blessings of God. But if you don't fear me and obey my commandments, you're going to be exposed to curses. And those curses we know come from the devil, because the very curses that God speaks about in Deuteronomy 28:15-19 are the very curses that Satan brought upon Job. So Satan has got a perpetual pattern of bringing those curses and wiping out the domain that God gives us. He wants us to lose our earthly inheritance, and he also wants us to lose our heritage with God, as in eternal suffering. He wants us to not have that eternal life with God. But he wants us to perish and be tormented, where we fall away from the faith and end up losing our eternal heritage, meaning being a family of God. Look what Revelation 22:15 says, when Jesus talks about the conclusion of what's going to happen with, in terms of the end of the current era and the reign of our eternal life with God. He says here that in Revelation 22:15, outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. What is outside? Matthew 8:12 says, but the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Who's the subjects of the kingdom? Meaning the people that follow the devil, the god of this world. They are outside. So when Revelation 22:15 says outside are those people, Matthew 28:12 says the place outside is a place where it's utter darkness and it's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25 describes outside as darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worthless servants are thrown outside there. And outside in Matthew 25:41 says, it is eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So he says, all those who are cursed are going to follow into eternal fire that was prepared for the devil and angels. So the devil comes to impose fear on us so that we can lose our eternal heritage of eternal life with God and end up in eternal hell, tormented with the devil and his angels. So there's two types of fears. The fear of the Lord is to protect us and gain us earthly inheritance and eternal inheritance, like Job's earthly inheritance and eternal inheritance with life with God forever. And the fear of the devil is to torment us physically and bring trouble upon us and wipe us out on the earth and call us to fall away from the faith, so that in turn, we then lose our eternal life with God because we fell away from the faith on the earth with all the challenges he imposed on us. So how do we overcome the fear of this world? Ecclesiastic 12 says, the whole duty of a man, the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Okay, how do we overcome the fear that the enemy brings our way? 1 John 5:18 says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So when you know that you are born of God and you fear the Lord and you keep his commandments, that's what means keeps himself, then the wicked one can't touch you. When you choose to revere God and his ways, and you have divine protection, so when the devil goes to accuse you in heaven, God will say, according to my word, that child has obeyed every single word. They're obeying the commandments. You got no entry into their life. That's what he's going to do. God's going to say, you cannot go to him. You're accusing him to me, but he's innocent in my eyesight because he's fearing me and he's obeying my commandments. That's how you're going to have to overcome the fear of this world. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So when you enjoy your love relationship with the Lord, it will remove all fear because you are fully persuaded that God loves you. Remember what happened to Job when he saw God at the end. He was fully persuaded. Therefore, all fear left and he could be restored double than what the enemy took from him. Okay? Psalms 23 says, the Lord is our shepherd. We will never be in a place of want. He makes us to lie down in green pastures, meaning we will not be in barren places. He leads us in still waters, meaning we have in a place of peace. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way, the Lord be with you. John 14:1 says, let not your hearts be troubled, dear youth. Believe in God. And 1 Peter 5:13 says, peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. To experience the peace of God is important because in that way you will not allow the spirit of fear to come and torment you, because when he torments you, then you give right to the enemy. So I trust today, dear youth, you've been encouraged by what I've said. There is two fears. Why fear God? You have your answer now. Why you shouldn't fear the devil? You have your answer now through the life of Job. And know that God is near. He's in you, the Spirit of God, and he's going to help you. Okay?